share with us, and we took every story to heart, and we just lived a much better life because of it, didn't we? No. We did what we wanted to do on our own, and then we learned the hard way. And then when our kids come along, we said, let me tell you this, and we tried to get and fortunately for us, they listened and paid attention, and they did things the hard way. They did things the way they wanted to do. And we see that so many times that we could learn through the years, but we choose not to. We continue many times down a destructive path. Fortunately, we have time to come back many times, but sometimes it doesn't work out. We want our way to be the right way. We'd like for our way to be the right way. But when it's not, are we then too stubborn to change? And that's what, it's one thing to learn and change the direction in which we're headed. It's another to learn to be, have the knowledge now, and then continue down the wrong path. As we said before, that those lessons are ours. If you become too stubborn to change, and that's what basically Elijah's dealing with here, with the people, with the king, that they're too stubborn to change. You would have thought, after seeing the battle at Mount Carmel, that wouldn't the nation start to shape up a little bit and learn? Wouldn't the king start to change? Wouldn't the king have went and told his son stories about what happened there and how we need to change and follow these things? No, because sometimes people would rather be wrong than to admit that they were wrong. They'd rather stay wrong than to admit that they were wrong. It's a matter of humility. So anyway, verses 5 and 6, we see back so soon and with a message of doom. Verses 5 and 6, it says, the messengers came back to the king with a message from Elijah, and they shared the response. What's going to happen to you, king? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to die. No, come on. All I did was fell from a window. Right? We don't always like the message that's given. And that's where we need to understand, maybe if he would have straightened his ways up at this time, he would have been saved. But he didn't. Verses 7 and 8. So there was an inquiry about the instigator. They want to know, the king wants to know, who was this man? Who was the one that gave you this answer? Because if you answered questions that didn't go along with the king, what usually resulted in that? Yeah, all right? They'd kill you. And so that's what, even in the days of Daniel, when we see that, they were kind of wanting to know all the information they could get, because they were afraid that if we didn't answer according to the king what he wanted, that our lives may be required. So they said, who was this man? Who told you? And of course, you know, these people were no different than the good people of today. We're always willing to pass the blame and to pass the buck. Well, it was this hairy man, right? With a leather girdle about his loins. And right away the king said, oh, Elijah, the Tishbite. He knew who he was. He wanted to know who the guy was. And then when it happened, it was like, oh, I should have known. Verse 9. So the king summons God's servant. The king says to come down. And Elijah's sitting on the top of a hill. And it says, oh, man of God, the king says, come down. And right away, Elijah just came down, didn't he? No, we see here. He's sitting there on the hill, and he doesn't come down. But instead, the king sends out a captain with 50 men to go get him, right? And so here's where in verse 10 we see that Elijah exercises God's ability of execution. Elijah exercises God's ability of execution. Elijah says, let's take a little test. Now, as we said before, Elijah has taken tests. Elijah has done very well in tests. Okay, the Samaritans around him have taken the same test as Elijah and have not fared so well. But Elijah says, so let's take a little test. If I am a man of God, and if the God I serve is the God from heaven, let fire come down and consume this captain and his 50 men. Immediately, it says fire fell from heaven, boom, and consumed the captain and his 50 men. So how do you think this is when you know you're dealing with somebody stubborn? Because they go back and they let the king know what happened, and he says, so I've got this great idea, right? And so we'll call it the King Summoned God's Servant Part 2. Because he says, I've got this great idea, and I'm going to send these men out to talk to this Elijah again. Okay, so the king says to Elijah, come down quickly. Okay, now first time he said, you know, come down. Now he says, O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly. He had sent out another captain with 50 more men. And so if the stubborn king is going to do the same thing, what do you think God's response is? What do you think Elijah's response is? God obviously is all about giving in to what men want, right? And Elijah is all about, let's do what the king of Samaria wants. So let's see. Elijah exercises God's ability of execution, part two. In verse 12, Elijah says, the king is still not learned. And those of us that know the song to, or the lines to Henry VIII, second verse, same as the first, okay? And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us that you may not change your ways, but I guarantee you God is going to stay with what is right. So then, if I am a man of God, Elijah says, and you would think, right? As the guys hear this said, if I am a man of God, they'd be ducking, running for cover, right? But they don't. They're stubborn. The king's stubborn. If I'm a man of God, let fire fall from heaven and consume the... Boom! This is... Wow. You know, we see this happening. And so obviously after two times this happening, right? So we've got two captains dead in the army. We've got 100 soldiers dead in the army. And so obviously the king's going to get the message. Well, let's see. Verses 13 and 14, the king summoned God's servants, part 3. The captain comes to Elijah. They send another captain with 50 more soldiers. But this captain comes to Elijah on his knees. This captain decides, you know what? I'm going to learn something here. This captain says, just because this king goes against this guy doesn't mean I need to go against this guy. I can still do what the king has asked me to do, but I can go about it in a different way. I've been sharing the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. So if you want a different answer, approach it from a different angle. Now, you may get the same result, but you might get a different one. And this is where we see a change takes place. He takes a different approach. O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. Isn't that really what, and I'm going to say more than a man of God wants, but a man of God wants for humility in the lives of those around as well. But ultimately, isn't that what God wants? Is for them to come and realize who he is and the power that he has. So as we get to verse 15 then, it says, an angel encourages Elijah to go. And he had spared the life of the third captain with the third 50s. So an angel encourages Elijah to go. He says, go and do not be afraid. Go and don't be afraid. Sometimes a simple word of encouragement can go a long, long way. All he said is go and don't be afraid. It's kind of like in the Great Commission, right? The marching orders for the church, and it takes chapter upon chapter to get the point across, right? No, Jesus just simply says, go and teach and baptize and teach. Just small encouragement to go do what needs to be done. Elijah is the same way here. An angel encourages him to go. Verse 16 then, Elijah gives Ahijah his answer. Now, they've told him, as if he hasn't heard before, right? So what's going to happen to me? I fell through the roof, or I fell out the window, apparently not in great shape, laying there, go inquire what's going to happen to me. Every time he said, you're going to die. But now one of the servants comes to him with a different approach to Elijah. So obviously there's going to be a different answer this time, right? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. The answer is still going to be the same. But how we go about getting to that answer may be different, but the answer is still the same. Elijah gives Ahijah his answer. You will surely die, in verse 16. The answer has not changed, but no one wants to hear these words, right? No one wants to hear these words, but the fact of the matter is that we will all face death's door sometime, and we need to be ready. Now, there were other kings that asked for an extended life or how that was going to, and God granted that. But in this case, the answer was no. You're going to die. You're going to die because of this. Then in verses 17 and 18, as we read there in our text, so Ahijah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahijah, which he did, are they not written in the book of Are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And so as we see this, Ahijah dies, and it became a mess because he had no sons. So then we have to go back and we do a little study, and if you go back and read 2 Chronicles 20. 20 through 22, you'll help you to understand some of this, but we're going to give some of this in a nutshell in the Paul Harvey's version of the rest of the story here so that you understand a little bit. But it was a mess because Ahijah had no sons. But Ahab, remember, Ahijah is Jezebel and Ahab's son. However, they did have a daughter. And the daughter then, King Jehoram married, King Jehoram of Israel married the daughter of Ahab. Just letting you know right here, right again, not good. Okay, this becomes a mess. This led Israel away from God. They had the opportunity. The king died. They could have done the right thing, but instead they choose the wrong pathway again. This led Israel away from God. Jehoram the king had received the letter. This is what we had made mention of last week or the week before. This is the guy, King Jehoram, who actually receives this letter after he becomes king, years down the road from Elijah, after Elijah had already been taken into heaven. And so there's many different theories on why that is and what takes place. But what we want to find out is Elijah had told King Jehoram in this letter that he was going to die. So Ahab has died, Ahaziah has died, and now the new king that's taken over, which is the son-in-law to Ahab, is going to die. And do we remember how Elijah told Jehoram he was going to die? This is where, when you read the scripture, you kind of get a kick out of some of their definition. But you're gonna die from a terrible bowel disease. Okay? That's what everybody wants to hear, right? And to finish out this, I don't know whether, as we look, Ahab, armor pierced by an arrow, he dies. Ahaziah falls out a window, dies. And then you're told you're going to die from terrible bowel disease. And here's how the scripture says, at least I think it's in the King James version. I think it was every version I looked up, actually, because I was just like, I wanted to see how they were going to say. And I think they're all the same. But it says that he was told that his bowels would fall out day by day. Oh my. Yeah, I've even got that in my notes with 3 exclamation points. Oh my. Because it's not just enough that it's going to happen. Because, you know, I don't know about you. If you know you're going to die, make it quickly, at least as far as I'm concerned. Get it over with. But when it says here that your bowels are going to fall out day by day, that just doesn't sound like a good thing to me. And as we look at this, it's a reminder to us again that God's in control. And I just wouldn't, if humbleness would have took place somewhere along the line, either with Ahab, Ahaziah, or Jehoram, maybe they could have changed it all. Maybe not. Maybe these things, their fate was still set as far as how they were going to die, but their eternal destination might have been changed. But when you die, having been labeled as being as wicked as your father or even more wicked than your father, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And so as we ask this evening, as we close with this message, the question was asked by Elijah, is there no God in Israel? We need to remember, we serve God. We look around sometimes in our own country, and we see that they succumb to the god of fame or fortune, whatever it may be. And maybe there's someone that needs to stand up today and ask, is there no God in America? Isn't there someone that we should put our faith and our trust in over all these other things? And the answer is, a rhetorical, yes. Yes, there is. But how many times are we always looking the other way? Looking towards what the world has to offer instead of what God has to offer. There's a plan of salvation given in the scripture that tells us that God wants for us to be with Him. That God wants for us to get our lives straightened out and come to Him. That we need to believe in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That we need to repent. Acts 3:19, therefore repent and be converted so that your sins may be wiped away. Confess Christ, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. To be immersed. 1 Peter 3:21, and baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Elijah was reminded of this last week. And so now we see him continuing on, pressing on, doing the right thing as we encourage you to do as well. Will you stand with us as we close out tonight?
Let's sing Trust and Obey.